This is Digital Story Podcast number 911, September 5th, 2023. Today's theme is The Nick Collection Transformation is Complete. And it's wonderful. I'm Derek Story. On August 30th, DxO released Nick Collection 6.3, completing the overhaul of the entire suite of creative plugins. Every line of code has been rewritten. The software runs great on Mac and Windows machines, and for many of us, it's like falling in love all over again. I'll explain why on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. When DxO acquired Nick Collection from Google, it was languishing, let's be honest. Those 8 magical plugins for Photoshop and Lightroom Classic hadn't been updated in years. Now, it's true, near the end of the Google years, as we'll call them, the collection was available for free, but honestly, you were getting what you paid for at that point. You were getting something that was dusty, that the code needed to be updated, and that could not grow with the rest of your online and on computer photography library. It was just sort of stuck in time. It was like a fossil at that point. DxO got their hands, they negotiated a deal with Google, and they got their hands on the Nick Collection and began to work on it. And what a lot of work it was. You know, so what was once the darling of the creative photography community and had seemed destined for the old folks' home got a new lease on life. But it was not a magic wand new lease on life. It was not immediate. It would take a long time. DxO had to know that they were in for a lot of work with this project. Now that we're where we are today, in September of 2023, I wonder if they realized exactly how much work they had ahead of them. And it wasn't easy along the way. Not only were they having to do the work to integrate the Nick Collection with the rest of the DxO software, most notably PhotoLab, but also the sort of the complaints along the way that, okay, now we have to pay for this. You know, when it was with Google, it was free. Now you're charging us $149 for the same thing, right? And yet it's not done. It's not completed, but we still have to pay the amount of money for a completed set of software. Although I will say this, $149 for those 8 plugins is not a terrible deal in the software world. And it's a license, right? So, you know, you don't have to pay it every month. You know, you don't have to jump through a lot of the hoops that we do with other software. You pay it and you have it. And in fact, we're going to get to that a little bit as one of the improvements as to how much you really do have it once you pay it. But nonetheless, you know, there was a lot of hits that DxO took during this process. And, you know, it was, I'm sure, very difficult for them, not only work-wise, not only resource-wise, you know, still trying to maintain all their other software and bring this up to integration level, but also just sort of emotionally and PR-wise, it had to be difficult as well. But they did it. And as of August 30th, when they released version 6.3, of the Nick Collection, they finished the transition. This transition that started when they got their hands on it from Google. And, you know, so I think right there, before I even get into any of the details or any of that kind of stuff, you just have to tip your hat to them that they stuck it through. They did not give up. They stuck it through to the end. And now, I will say it's absolutely wonderful. And it is like falling in love all over again because we get to use these great tools now on the hardware that we prefer, the way that we want to use them. Okay, so I'm going to get in to more of that. Well, let's just do it right now. Let's get into some of the highlights. Because version 6.3 is an incremental update, I think it's easy to overlook its importance. And that's one of the reasons why I'm featuring it this week on the podcast. You're going, well, 6.3. Since when do we do a podcast on dot releases, right? Well, that's just the way it worked out. Honestly, it could be 7, you know, as far as I'm concerned, but it is 6.3. And to DxO credit, I'm glad they just kind of like, you know, showed some restraint here. They finished upgrading HDRFX and Nick Sharpener Pro, two of the 8 plugins. And that's really what 6.3 is about on the superficial level. So they have been going through all the plugins, right? Updating the UI, updating the code, updating their functionality, adding new stuff to them, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the last two were HDRFX and Nick Sharpener Pro. And so with 6.3, they have finished that process. Those are the last two. So now all 8 plugins have refreshed interface, new features, and updated code. So just on the superficial level, that's what 6.3 was about, and maybe that's why it's still a dot release. However, let's compare the changes of version 6.3, the cumulative changes of 6.3, compared to Nick Collection 5.0. Okay, now I had a license for Nick Collection 5.0. I still have a license for Nick Collection 5.0. And that's where I stopped. And the reason why I did not upgrade to 6.0 or 6.1 or 6.2 was because I did not want to pay the upgrade price, which is $79 for me, until they finished the work. I knew they were close. I knew they were close. And I was to say, when you finish the job, I'll upgrade. In the meantime, I'll keep using Collection 5 on my Intel machines because it ran really well in Intel. But on my Apple Silicon machines, I had to run Rosetta. I don't really want to run Rosetta. So I just said, I'm just going to wait. All right. So I did. So for me, just personally, 6.3 is just nice because now I can use it on any machine that I want because the very first feature, and they list it as the last feature, I'm listing it as the first feature, I guess because it's important to me, is that full compliance throughout the entire suite with Apple Silicon. So you can use Nick Collection 6.3 on Apple Silicon machines without the need for Rosetta. So for me, I'm just going, this is what I've been waiting for. I want that integration where it runs on the machine that I paid for. I paid good money to have, you know, M1 chip, M2 chip, depending on which machine we're talking about. And I want that software to run natively on it. 6.3 does that. So for me, that was the tipping point. All of that being said, I want to remind everyone that's listening that this software, version 6.3, runs great on Windows and Macs, and now all Macs, and it runs great on Windows machines too. So they've accomplished that. Second thing I want to mention, compared to version 5, is that you don't lose your old version of Nick Collection when you upgrade. Now, this was something that I always thought was kind of a quirk with this. And so you go, okay, I want to upgrade from version 4 of Nick Collection to version 5. Then version 5 would replace version 4. You could no longer run version 4 on there. Well, there can be instances where, you know, you go, hey, I don't want to do that. In one of the instances, the top of mind one is that you want to do a free trial of the new version and you don't want to wipe out your old version just because it's a free trial. Because what if you decide, I'm going to wait a little bit longer? Then what happens? You have to go back and take off the free trial and then you have to reload the other one. I mean, oh my gosh, what a pain in the nose. That doesn't happen anymore. So now, for example, on my Intel machines that have version 5, I can load 6.3 and I don't have to get rid of version 5 if I don't want to. Now, I'm not going to do the trial. I mean, I don't know why I would hang on to version 5. I don't think there's anything noteworthy about doing that, but it's just really nice to have the flexibility now where an automatic upgrade does not automatically get rid of the old version. So that is a new feature in 6. automatic integration with Affinity Photo during installation. So the Nik Collection 6 detects the presence of Affinity Photo during installation. Those of you that use Affinity Photo, this is really nice. Now I'm going to talk about in a little bit how I use Nik Collection, and I actually use it with DxO Photo Lab is my favorite way to use it. But folks that love Infinity, which is a very nice, a very robust alternative to Photoshop, now has that very nice integration with Nik Collection too. So Affinity Photo, Photoshop, Lightroom Classic, DxO Photo Lab, all of those are nice launching pads for Nik Collection. Another new feature, you can convert a layer to a Photoshop smart object. So you can create a smart object for Photoshop directly with a single click from any of the plugins except Nik Perspective. That's the only one. All the other plugins, with a single click, you can create a smart object for Photoshop out of Nik Collection. That's very nice for Photoshop users. It also supports high definition displays and multiple displays. So if you use high DPI monitors, you can work without disruption and use multiple screens. Another new feature in 6. And then they made a whole bunch of improvements to local adjustments. So you can make even more precise local adjustments with the option to diffuse your control points, for example. You can rename local adjustments and save them as part of the preset or of presets. Control points and control lines gain greater precision with the option to invert their impact. And it goes on and on and on. There's a whole list of what happens with local adjustments. And I think this is part of what took time, you know, with this whole project for DxO, is that they really wanted to have more local adjustment as part of the suite, and they want to have more precision with local adjustments. So, and they list them out in great detail, but just overall, no, if you like doing local adjustments, there's a lot of goodies waiting for you in version 6 that you did not have in previous versions. And then, as I mentioned at the top of this, fully refreshed by DxO from the ground up. So with the arrival of 6.3, every line of code has been rewritten by DxO, giving you unity, performance, and stability. And I can vouch for that because I have been using it since the upgrade, been using 6.3 since the upgrade, and it has run great. I've only been using it on Apple Silicon because that's what I've been waiting for. So I guess I need to test it on my Intel Macs. I need to load it and test it there, which I will. And if there's any hiccups, I will certainly let you know. So let's talk a little bit about how I personally use Nik Collection, especially now that I have access to it on the hardware that I prefer using for my photo editing. So I have an image library that's organized by file folders. And I keep this image library and I keep adding to it. This is not just some static thing. I add specific shoots to it, you know, all the time. And the reason why I keep this library is because I can access those files using DxO Photo Lab 6, On1, Photo Raw 2023, Luminar Neo, Lightroom Classic, and Capture One Pro. So it's just really great for testing or for going, let me see, how do I want to process this file? You know, it's great just having them there because the masters just stay there. Now, there's all sorts of little files that get added in there. I just ignore those because only the applications that need those, you know, XMP files or whatever they are, access them. But otherwise, you know, I can work on the same image using, you know, 5 different apps by doing it this way. So I like DxO Photo Lab 6 a lot because of the technologies it has. I love ClearView. I love its deep prime noise reduction. I mean, sometimes if I have a photo, especially if I'm shooting with an older camera, for instance, the photo that I'm running with the show notes, I shot with a Nikon D610 in a Nikon 50mm lens near the end of the day in low light. So certainly there's a little bit of noise and stuff there. So that was a file that I wanted to work on in DxO anyway, because I wanted the optical corrections. I wanted the noise reduction. I wanted the clear view. I wanted all that kind of stuff. Now, the kind of photo that it is, I also wanted to use, you know, one of my favorite Nik plugins, which is Analog Effects. I just love that plugin, second only to Silver Effects. So I wanted to use Analog Effects. So that's the shot that I have in the show notes, so you can take a look at it. I like using, or I like accessing the Nik plugins from DxO because I do all the pre-work using their technologies, and I can just like whip through it really fast. And then, you know, the Nik plugins are integrated. So I just click up there, Nik plugins, and I choose which one I want. And then the application PhotoLab creates the TIFF, launches the plugin, sends it to the plugin, and then I get to do, in this case, Analog Effects, work on the photo, play with it, just have all the fun that we have in Nik Collection, and then send it back to DxO PhotoLab. Now, when it comes back, it's in the same file folder as the original. So I have the original RAW file there that I did the pre-work on. And then I have the TIFF that came back from Nik Collection there that has the effects. And I have both of them. So I can continue working on the RAW file if I want to do other things with it. Or, you know, I can just use the one that came back from, let's say, Analog Effects or Silver Effects, whatever it happens to be, and use that for whatever the project happens to be. So it's really nice. It's super versatile, and it's very easy to use, and they've done the integration really well. The other thing that PhotoLab has done, and this is one thing that I really like what On1 did with their application, is that it's easy for me to export from PhotoLab, from DxO PhotoLab, right into my Photos app with one click. You know, in the export options or in the share options, say, hey, I want to send this to Photos. I send them as full-size JPEGs at 90 quality into the Photos app, and it's just like a one-click thing, and then the file is prepared. And then it just sends it right into Photos, and it appears in my Photos library. I don't have to export, import, do all that kind of stuff. It just goes boom, right over there. The reason why I like to do that is because the files that I've worked on, the files that I really like, then are backed up in my iCloud library. They're sent to all my devices, you know, all my computers, my iPad, my phone, all that stuff. And I have access to them no matter what I'm using right away. A lot of times just to show to somebody else on my phone, right? Just go, hey, look. But it's also nice to have it backed up in the cloud. So I like that part of PhotoLab as well. So for me, using PhotoLab as the host app works great. But Photoshop users, Nik Collection, both Mac and Windows, integrates fantastically. Affinity, it integrates. And then DxO PhotoLab. And you can use them as standalones too. I just like a little smoother workflow than using them as standalones. Now, if all of this wasn't good enough, and this has been pretty good stuff so far, DxO has also committed to monthly updates to their extensive library of lens and camera modules, which is one of the reasons why I like PhotoLab so much, is because of the built-in optical corrections. And those of you that use PhotoLab knows how this works. Anytime you introduce a new lens or a new camera to the application, you know, by, when I say introduce, by using a photo, opening a photo in the app, it will identify that camera based on its XF data. And if it doesn't have a module already loaded, it will load that module, or it'll ask you if it can load that module, which takes a fraction of a second. And then you do that, and then you have all the camera and optical corrections available to you. It's really slick. And I just love, you get so spoiled with those automatic optical corrections that you forget that all of these lenses aren't perfect all of the time, right? Because in your, you know, in your application, that everything looks great. They're going to start updating that more frequently now, like on a monthly basis. So that's really nice. They're expanding their support to third-party lens manufacturers like Viltrox. Viltrox is very popular right now because they're making very high quality lenses at very affordable prices. So that's nice. So there's a lot of good things going on here. And I sort of feel like, because now that they finished Nik Collection, they're going, wow, we can work on all this other stuff that we wanted to work on, and we can do this more often, and we can do this better, and all that kind of stuff. We may see a real slingshot effect here now that DxO has finished Nick Collection. All right, let's talk about getting your hands on it. If you want to upgrade, for instance, I upgrade from 5 to 6.3. I could do that for $79. And as long as it's a licensed copy, I'm guessing at some point it can be too old and you have to buy the new version. But if it's semi, if it's within this decade kind of thing, you should be able to upgrade for $79. If you're just starting out, it's $149. And you can usually find a discount code if you're buying the full suite for $149. If you do a little searching online. And I think if you're buying the full suite for $149, if you're not upgrading, that they have an add-on now where you get some video tutorials for free as part of that upgrade. So you might want to take a look at that. Free trial is available. And of course, if you have an older version of Nick Collection, now the free trial will not wipe that out. So you can keep your older version and do the free trial both, which is handy also for comparison. So I upgraded for $79, and honestly, it was worth every penny. I'm very pleased with the work that DxO has done on this. I'm glad this project's over, and now I'm just so happy to have Nick Collection back in my life. New firmware updates from Fujifilm, Nikon, Panasonic, Ricoh, plus ACR update adds Sony A6700 RAW support. And this is from DP Review. I have a link in the show notes. If you have any of these affected cameras, you're going to want to go over to this article via the show notes because they go into detail with all the firmware updates that I'm not going to go into here. I'm going to read you the opening paragraph and then highlight a few of the details. So in case you missed it, there have been several recent firmware updates for several popular camera models in the past couple of months, as well as updates for Adobe Camera Raw, which added support for some new cameras and lenses. Most recently, there have been firmware updates for the Nikon Z9, Nikon Z8 mirrorless cameras, helpful bug fixes for the Fujifilm XS20, Fujifilm X100V, and the Ricoh GR3, GR3X, and a pair of updates for the Panasonic S5II and S5IIX cameras, among others. And so they go into all of this here in this article. And let me just scroll through it and give you a few highlights here. The XS20 is a minor update. A bug is fixed that the horizontal line of noise appears momentarily in a portion of LCD monitor in rare cases. Well, that doesn't sound minor to me if that's happening to you. That sounds like something I would want to fix in the Fujifilm XS20. For the X100V version 3.01, in particular, is helpful update as it fixes an annoying bug that was introduced in the earlier version 3 firmware, which caused the lens focusing motor to shift out of its near-end position every time you powered on the camera. Not only did this cause a noticeable delay in readiness when powering on the camera, but it also completely reset the focus distance from where the camera was last used. So 3.01 firmware fixes that. The Nikon Z9 version 4.01 for the flagship camera, and it has 5 issues that are fixed in that firmware update. Actually, these look fairly serious. If you have a Nikon Z9, you might definitely want to take a look at version 4.01 firmware update, especially if you shoot video. And the Z8's got some pretty heavy-duty stuff, too. So if you have either one of those cameras, definitely take a look at that. And then the Panasonic cameras, the S5II and the S5IIX, there were cases that some subjects and their outlines are colored depending on the shooting condition. This phenomenon has been fixed. That must be wild. And then on the Ricoh firmware update, so the GR3 and the GR3X, let's see if there's anything here. The new firmware introduced a new customization setting that lets users select from a list of 22 settings and toggle whether or whether or not the camera would remember these options upon power cycling the camera. For instance, you could tell the camera to remember your aperture at f4 even after powering off the camera. Meanwhile, unchecked settings would revert back to the default value when powering on the camera once more. That sounds kind of fun. That sounds kind of like a nice new feature. And then they squashed some bugs as well. And then finally, the Adobe Camera Raw updates. This looks like a pretty good update. The highlight of this is support for the Sony A6700 RAW files, new lens profiles from Canon and Sony. Pretty good little update there. If you're an ACR user, you probably have already done that. Software updates on the computer are much easier than firmware updates on the camera. That is your firmware update roundup for this week. If you have any of the affected cameras, I'd definitely take a look at this article. Moving 1.5 million photos from an old Drobo to a new QNAP NAS. And this is an article written by Jeff Cable, who I know and is a very meticulous kind of photographer dude. And he's a perfect guy to write this kind of article. You can read it on petapixel.com. And I have a link to it in the show notes. I'm going to read you kind of the intro and then the outro on this article, and then I'll talk a little bit about the middle too. Back in February of this year, I began making a huge transition from the Drobo NAS system, now out of business, to the newer and far superior QNAP system. Back then, I had just installed two new NAS systems, but I had not moved any data. I had many people, most of whom were using Drobo, ask how the QNAP transition was going. I told them that it was too early to tell and that I had a lot of work to do before I could give them a fair and honest answer. Here I am, 6 months later, and I've been using the system nonstop, but there was a lot to do between then and now. Some had to do with the data transition, and some had to do with just the back-to-back photo tours. Let me tell you what I have found, both the good and the bad. So then he goes through, he talks about the initial setup, he talks about some of the issues he encountered, he discusses how he works on his files, he discusses setting up remote synchronization, he talks about the new user interface and its features with his new system, the QNAP. A lot of screenshots on this article, a lot of reports and details. I mean, he really goes into a lot of detail. If you're using Drobo right now and you're kind of wondering what you should do, I think this article would be a must read. And then he gets to the conclusion itself, which I will read you right now. When Drobo started showing signs of their pending demise, I was in a panic. I had all of my data on their boxes, and both the company and the units were failing. I literally lost sleep worrying about this problem. I pride myself on having every digital image I have ever taken, the keepers, and having them in two locations. I even tell my clients about the setup so they know I will have their images safe for years to come. I can tell you now that the panic is gone and I am really happy with the QNAP solution. I have not only replicated what I was doing with the Drobo units, but I have surpassed the functionality and usability by far. It is not an inexpensive solution, but it is something that is vital to my business. As professional photographers, our data is everything, and keeping those images safe is critical. I am now sleeping better at night. All right, you have an aging Drobo, and you're kind of wondering what you should do. I would definitely take a look at this article. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. First, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the people that support this podcast and this community month in and month out. Discounts on upcoming workshops. And guess what? I'm working on the 2024 workshop season. Might be a good time to become an Inner Circle member if you want to sign up for an online or in-person adventure in 2024. They also have their Inner Circle space on Derek Story Online. That's the space where they get to share pictures, ask questions, compare notes, and just have other photographers to hang out with without all the other noise that we don't like with online sites sometimes. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look around. If you like what you see, hopefully you'll join us in 2023 and reap those benefits all through 2024. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. Also like to thank our good friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. So during our last online printing workshop that Red River Paper helps us with, tremendous assistance from them for those workshops. And we've got another one coming up in December that they will be assisting us with. They arranged for one of their photographers that they work with, Matt Suisse, to come and talk to us. And he was a big Nick guy, and he talked about how to use the Nick sharpening tools to prepare his images for the type of paper that he's going to be printing on. Now, this was a bit of revelation to me. I knew about output sharpening. I use output sharpening, and it's fantastic. But he took output sharpening in terms of tailoring it to a whole new level, and I really appreciated that. And it also sort of rekindled my affection for the Nick collection, and this was before 6.3, in terms of some of the plugins that I don't use very often. So anyway, learning this kind of stuff, having access to these types of resources, these photographers, this information, this is what Red River Paper brings to the table for us. Not only do they help support this podcast month in and month out, but they support us in other ways too, with knowledge, with technique, and of course, with great printing paper. If you're interested in getting your printing mojo on, click on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look around, order some paper, and start putting that inkjet printer to use. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Working on more great stuff for next week. There's a lot of stuff coming down the pike here. Be sure to come back and join us next Tuesday. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next week. Bye-bye now.